Devahuti
uvacha.
Devahuti said,
Prakrite,
of his energies,
Purushaha,
of the Supreme Person,
Api,
also,
Lakshanam,
characteristics,
Purusha
Uttama,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Bruhi,
kindly explain,
Karanayo,
causes,
Ashya,
of this creation,
Sat
Asat,
manifest and unmanifest,
Cha,
and
Yadatmakam,
consisting of which?
Translation.
Devahuti said,
O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
kindly explain
the characteristics of the
Supreme Person
and his energies,
for both of these
are the cause
of this material,
of this
manifest and
unmanifest creation.
Translation
responsively,
Devahuti said,
O Supreme
Personality of
Godhead,
kindly explain the characteristics of the
Supreme Person
and his
energies,
for both of
these
are the cause
of
this manifest
and unmanifest creation.
Purport
by His Divine Grace Srila
Prabhupada.
Prakriti,
or material nature,
is connected
with both the
Supreme Lord
and the living entity.
Just
as a woman
is connected with
her husband
as a wife
and with her
children as a mother.
In
the Bhagavad Gita,
Lord says
that he
impregnates
mother nature
with children,
living entities,
and thereafter
all species of
living entities
become manifest.
The
relationship
of all living
entities with the
material nature
has been explained.
Now,
understanding
of the relationship
between the material
nature and the
Supreme Lord
is sought
by
Devahuti.
The product
of that relationship
is stated to be
the manifest
and unmanifest
material world.
The
unmanifest
material world
is the subtle
Mahatattva,
and from
that Mahatattva,
the material
manifestation
has emerged.
In
the Vedic literatures,
it is said
that by the
glance of the Supreme
Lord, the total
material energy
is impregnated,
and
then everything
is born of
material nature.
It is also
confirmed in the
9th chapter of
the Bhagavad Gita
that
under his glance,
ajakshena,
under his direction
and by
his will, nature
is working.
It is not
that nature works
blindly.
After
understanding the
position of the
conditioned soul
in relation to
material nature,
Devahuti
wanted to know
how nature
works under the
direction of
the Lord,
and what
the relationship
is between the
material nature
and the Lord.
In
other words, she wanted
to learn the
characteristics of the
Supreme Lord
in relation to
the material nature.
The
relationship of the
living entities
with matter and
that of the Supreme
Lord with matter
are certainly
not on
the same level,
although
the Mayavadis
may interpret it
that way.
When it
is said that the
living entities are
bewildered,
the Mayavadi
philosophers
ascribe the
bewilderment
to the Supreme
Lord.
But that is not
applicable.
The Lord
is never bewildered.
That is the
difference between the
personalists and
the impersonalists.
Devahuti
is not
unintelligent.
She has
enough intelligence
to understand
that the living
entities
are not on the
same level of the
Supreme Lord.
Because the
living entities
are
infinitesimal,
they
become
bewildered
or conditioned
by material
nature.
But this
does not mean
that the
Supreme Lord
is also
conditioned
or bewildered.
The difference
between the
conditioned soul
and the Lord
is that the
Lord is the Lord,
the master
of material
nature,
and he is
therefore not
subject to
its
control.
He
is controlled
neither
by spiritual
nature
nor by
material nature.
He is
the supreme controller
himself,
and he cannot be
compared to the
ordinary living
entities
who are
controlled by
the laws of
material nature.
Two
words used in
this verse are
sat
and asat.
The
cosmic manifestation
is
asat.
It does
not exist. But the material energy of the Supreme Lord is Sat, or everlasting, or ever-existing. Material nature is ever-existing in its subtle form as the energy of the Lord, but it sometimes manifests as non-existent or temporary existent nature, the cosmos. An analogy may be made with the father and the mother. The mother and the father exist, but sometimes the mother begets children. Similarly, this cosmic manifestation, which comes from the unmanifest material nature of the Supreme Lord, sometimes appears again and disappears. But the material nature is ever-existing. The Lord is the supreme cause for both the subtle and the gross manifestations of this material world. Om Agnati Milanda Shyaganjana Shalakaya Chakshula Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Jayakripa Sindha Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavane Bhi Vaishnaveva Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Kadathara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section deals with the energies of the Lord, and Devahuti is inquiring about the energies of the Lord. And here, Lord Kapila Dev is addressed as Purushottama. So Purushottama, Purusha, means enjoyer. And sometimes the materialists are actually also called Purusha or enjoyer in this material world, but really they never get a real chance to enjoy. And they think they're enjoying, but actually they're not enjoying very much at all. I don't know if you're aware of it, but recently we had the Melbourne Cup and all the different cups that were going on, the horse races, and there was a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of hopeful enjoyment, and then it results in disaster most of the time. So materialists are trying to enjoy, but this enjoyment of Purusha is an illusory Purusha. It's non-existent. The real Purusha is Bhagavan, Krishna. Krishna is the real enjoyer. Bhaktaram jagatapa samsava loka maheshwaram. The sages know me to be the cause of all causes. That's Krishna. Krishna is the summum bonum of everything. He is the controller of everything. So Devahuti here in this section wants an explanation between Purusha and Prakriti, the relationship between the material nature and the Supreme Lord. So Devahuti is a very intelligent person. She's inquiring about the real situation of material world. And, you know, in today's society, a very, very limited amount of really intelligent people that want to know the truth about the material world. So often we have it that people are so content with just living their lives and not really analysing what this material life is all about, material nature is all about. So Purusha is one energy, that is the Lord's energy. In Prakriti, there's many energies. An example is given, Prabhupada gives this example of a partner may come home from a hard day's work, and the other partner makes that person very comfortable in different ways by providing different things, a nice meal, a comfortable bed, and so on and so forth. And that facility, that use of that energy is actually enough to recuperate that person for the next day's hard work. So the Lord is energized and when he works with his various energies. And whatever happens in this material world is reflected whatever happens in this material world is a reflection, a perverted reflection of what's really happening in the spiritual world. So the Lord accompanies by various energies. The Lord is accompanied by various energies. And the Upanishads specify that quite clearly, that the Lord has multi energies, very many energies. So Krishna, although Krishna is invisible to us in our present state, he can be perceived through the presence of his energies. Simply by seeing the wonderful creation, seeing so many things working to such an order. The last class we gave, we were talking about not only Isaac Newton, but also other great philosophers, you know, where he was explaining that, you know, everything is created by a controller. So many things work at such a wonderful level. And the example was given where he said that he created that model. Remember at the last class, the model of the universe, and his colleagues were amazed at this wonderful creation that he had made. And when they asked who made it, he said, well, nobody made it. It just manifested, this wonderful energetic functioning of the universe. And they couldn't believe that. And he said, that's as ludicrous as you believing that this whole cosmic universe, this whole universes and universes happened without any sort of intelligence, without any sort of control. So the Supreme Lord simply glances over the material energy and impregnates the material energy to become existent. In the ninth chapter, as it's mentioned, Abhyakshena, under his direction or under his will, the whole cosmic manifestation, the material nature, everything starts to exist. And because he created everything, everything comes from him, he owns everything. He is the complete controller of everything. Even our own bodies are not ours. Boy, there's something going on here today. Is everybody healthy? Even our own bodies are not our own property. They're owned by the Lord. And sometimes these different manifestations of illnesses come upon us and we have to deal with these bodies. So even though the Lord's energies are innumerable, his energies fall into three primary categories. We have the internal energy, Krishna's internal energy, and Krishna's internal energy expands as the spiritual world with all its varieties, including his ever-liberated associates. So you have these wonderful associates of the Lord. In fact, those wonderful associates are two-thirds of all living entities. The two-thirds in this material world, it's only one-third. And there's an analogy that's given by Rupa Goswami about those great souls that live with Krishna in the spiritual world. Rupa Goswami makes the analogy between the fish that live in the sea and the river that flows into the sea. And Rupa Goswami says that the fish that live in the sea never go into the river. They stay in the sea. So it is with Krishna's associates, those liberated living entities that live in the spiritual world. They never enter into this material whole, this material manifestation. They stay nicely in the spiritual realm. So this internal energy is full of knowledge and happiness, all bliss. And presently, that spiritual energy is beyond our perception. It is beyond our understanding at this stage. But that spiritual world makes up the most of reality. The spiritual world is actually the predominant reality. The second energy of the Lord is his external energy. Now, the external energy consists of all that is matter, everything that is matter in this material world. And the laws of nature, material bodies, the earth, and so on and so forth, the external energy is temporary and full of ignorance and suffering. And it is inert by nature, and it can only be moved by spirit. So it's only spirit that moves it. And this material world is simply a fraction of the whole manifestation of the Lord's creation. Finally, you have the third energy of the Lord. There are all these different energies. The third energy, guess what? That's us, folks. It's the marginal energy of the Lord. We infinite little spirit souls are expansions of Krishna's marginal energy. Just a little bit of a spark. Not even very much, just the size of the pin of the tip of a hair. That's how Krishna, or the Vedas describe it. We're just such a small little spark. But we are marginal energy of the Lord. We're part of Krishna. And we can choose to live in either the spiritual world or the material world. The choice is yours. Which one would you like? Or, to put it another way, we can be diluted by matter, be totally engrossed in matter, or we can be illuminated, uplifted by spirit. And that's our choice in this material world. We've got the clear direction. We can do one of two things. We can be completely engrossed in this material world and just be completely deluded, or we can use our intelligence and we can illuminate our spirit. We can actually re-establish our connection with the spiritual being who we really are, with the spiritual world. So that takes a little bit of intelligence. And those people that come to Krishna Consciousness Movement are utilizing that little grain of intelligence to come to the illuminating aspect of illuminating our life, coming back to the spirit. So both the external energy, matter, and the marginal energy, our souls, we, the souls, can become fully spiritualized by being in contact with the internal energy, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. How do we do that? Do we just call up the Lord and say we want to be connected? No. The way we get connected to the Lord is by devotional service. That is the only way that we can get connected to the Supreme Lord, by again connecting and developing a devotional attitude in service to the Lord. This is bhakti yoga. This is what we're practicing. So this is really, really important. The relationship of a living entity with matter and the Supreme are not on the same level. This is what has been described. And in the purport here, Prabhupada is talking about the Mayavadis seem to think that this energy is exactly the same, and the contamination is exactly the same for the Supreme Lord, which is a nonsense. The Lord is in full control. God is Purusha. God is the enjoyer. And God manifests in many, many ways. Here, the Lord is manifesting as Lord Kapiladev. The Lord can manifest as Nrsingadev. The Lord can manifest as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord can manifest, and they're all Purusha, incarnations of the Lord. So this is very, very important for us to realize that the Lord can manifest, and it's always the Lord. It's always Him in those different manifestations. The other area that the Lord manifests Himself, and Srila Prabhupada points that out, is as Paramatma, Krishna within. God is so merciful, Krishna is so merciful, that He accompanies every living entity. We have the spiritual spark sitting within the heart region of our body, that little tiny infinitesimal little spark. You know how you've got those movies at the moment? Sometimes you see these movies, Transformers, and you see the little person sitting in there and they're moving this big thing, right? That's how we are. We're little sparks with this transformer body. This one's 130 Ks and he moves around very slowly, but he's acting. But me, really me, I'm sitting here somewhere in here, this tiny little spark, and we're all the same size, believe it or not, in the spirit. So, and I'm manipulating this big, gross body. Moo, yes, like that. So Krishna says that Krishna is so wonderful and so compassionate and so concerned for every living entity that are in this small pocket of the material energy, right? We belong in the majority, but somehow or other we're shoved in this prison house due to our desires to lord it over the material energy, to want to be the little Purushas, little enjoyers. Krishna is so merciful that He manifests Himself as Paramatma. We're Atma, Krishna's Paramatma, the big Atma. And He sits alongside that living entity and waits for the living entity to turn to Him. He also witnesses every activity that we do. Every activity, He's there as the silent witness, watching everything. Sometimes we can think, I'm out of the temple, there's no devotees around, I'm not wearing devotional clothes, I can be a nonsense. But we can't. Because deep down inside there is the spiritual spark of the Lord also accompanying us and witnessing everything that we do. Everything that we do. So this is all on consciousness, based on consciousness, how we approach and how we deal with the Lord. So the Lord is the witness. He witnesses all our activities. He witnesses all our desires. And consequently, we actually grow from that connection with the Supreme Lord. As Prabhupada makes that example in the Bhagavad Gita of the two birds sitting on the one tree. And the one is the enjoyer and the other one is the silent witness. And Krishna is just witnessing our rantings and ravings and our desires and flittering here and there, trying to eke out a little bit of pleasure here and there. And it's useless. It's a waste of time. Because we're spiritual by nature. We're part of the Supreme. We belong in the spiritual world. So this is bewildering to some people to understand that actually God is actually traveling with us as our partner in this sojourn and waiting for us to actually turn to Him. And it's interesting, you know, because I was listening recently on a religious program And there's an incredible rise of atheism that's predominant in our society, and in particular, it's with young people. They've been brainwashed by people like Dawkins and so many other different people that are presenting this understanding that actually everything happened just by chance. It is all just a fabrication. Religions are just a lot of mumbo jumbo, and it really has no fact. And if you're really intelligent, you would understand that we evolved from monkeys and that there was the Big Bang. But that's really not very intelligent. But there is a rise of this atheism, which is a concern for the devotees, because our children will be affected by that through the schools that they go to and so on and so forth. So even to the extent, and this was getting back to that point, there was a religious program that I wanted to listen to, and there was a minister of religion in Canada who is now a confirmed atheist, right? So get this, she's a minister of religion, but she's also an atheist. Now, that's well and good. You know, if you don't want to be a minister anymore, then because you've got atheistic views, she was swayed by the arguments that Dawkins made in his book. And so she said, no, but she said, I want to remain a minister. Hello. So she went to her congregation and said, I still want to be your minister, and I still want to help you in living a good life and a prosperous life, but I don't believe in God anymore. So the congregation is going, what the? So she's adamant. So she brought it to a council, and she's taking it to court that she wants to be still a minister. And so she's developed this little group. They actually kicked her out. They said, no, if you're a minister, you have to be a minister. Minister means that you are a servant of God. So they didn't allow her to continue. And so she formed this little group, and they develop, you know, good manners between each other, and they're very polite with one another, and their scriptures are things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and, you know, this is their scriptures. So wherever there's some sort of moral teaching, but it can't include God, because God doesn't exist. So this atheism is rife. The arguments of the atheist, they present that there cannot be a God because we can't see him. You can't see him. And we can't hear him. And we can't touch him. This is their argument. And it's a real basic argument. Who amongst us, when we've been teaching Krishna consciousness, when we've been presenting Krishna consciousness, have come across a person that says, yes, I don't believe in God because I can't see him, I can't touch him, I can't hear him. Who has that argument? Who's had that argument? Most of us. It's such a simple argument. So an important part of our direction in life is based on faith, beyond the sense perception. So we have to have faith. And people of an atheistic, they have faith in Dawkins, they have faith in something. But the point that Prabhupada makes is that if you're blind, right, does that mean that no one else can see? Prabhupada makes that if you are a blind person, atmavan manyate jagat, so I can't see, so nobody else can see. Because I can't see God and I can't experience God, that means no one else can experience God. But this is the false argument. So many people in the past have seen God, have dealt with God. They are, you know, and people that have an affection and a connection with God, these are some of the symptoms that a person who is godly, the term godly means being good, person that it believes in God, these are some of the symptoms. They are compassionate, right? They are gentle, they're loving, they're self-controlled, they're peaceful, and they are the well-wishers of all living entities. They're the characteristics, basically, across all religions, of a person that has some love for God. They become good people. They become godly. So is it possible, the question is asked, is it possible that such exalted attributes, such wonderful attributes, if you meet a person with these sort of attributes, that they're compassionate, they're gentle, they're loving, they're self-controlled, they're peaceful, and they wish well for everyone, if you meet somebody has those exalted, Is it possible that such exalted attributes are only found in those people who believe in God? Big question mark. It is possible, is it possible through religion, sorry, is it possible, although religion has manifested itself in so many places, so religion has manifested itself in so many places, so many times the symptoms of all such religious realizations at all are the same and are all common. So whatever religious tradition you come from, if you have that godly quality, those sort of godly qualities manifest themselves. Is that an accident? Is it an accident? No, it's not. The answer is, perhaps, there is some possibility that there is a God. It is a major thing still in today's society, this aspect of understanding God. It's interesting now that the quantum physicists of the world today, the highest thinkers, thinking about the cosmos and the universe and the structure and the atomic structure and subatomic structure, that a lot of these quantum physicists are now coming to the point of realizing that, yes, there must be an intelligence. There must be an intelligence. There must be something higher than just this material body. Recently, just reading recently, that there is now research being done on an afterlife. I can't remember the exact experiment they did, but they experimented with hundreds of people, and they put them through this, what do they call that, when you die, and it's a near-death experience. So they put them in this near-death experience where they controlled everything. But 100% each individual that went through this near-death experience said that they experienced something amazingly beyond the body. They said they felt they left their body behind, but they, consciousness, continued. And they felt extremely peaceful, and they felt the light, some bright light. And so there was to the person that were part of this experiment, they all said that they had this unique experience of an out-of-body experience, that they were not this material body. And this is the preaching that Prabhupada taught right from the start when he came to the West. You are not this material body, you're a spirit soul. So, the definition of God, according to the Vedanta Sutra, is Jamadiyasyayata. That means from him who all things emanate from. This is the Supreme Lord. So the definition of God, according to Vedanta Sutra, is that. And as Srila Prabhupada would say, when he met persons, because Prabhupada used to meet also personalities that would confront him and say, can you prove to me that God exists? Prabhupada would have this thrown at him so many times. Can you prove to me that God exists? You say that you're a man of God, prove to me that God exists. This is the argument that Prabhupada would say. And Prabhupada would say, do you have a father? And the man would say, yes, I have a father. Did he have a father? Yes, he had a father. Did that father have a father? And the man said, yes, that person had a father. Did he have a father? And Prabhupada went on and on like this. Every person we find in this world, Prabhupada says, has a father. So God is the ultimate father. If you go back, God is the ultimate father, the supreme father, the father of all fathers. The cause of all causes. He is the source of everything, right? And this is confirmed by great intelligent beings, Lord Brahma. In the first verse that he says, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. I am the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of all causes. This is the first thing. The great creator of this material world, the Lord Brahma, who had the job of creating all the different aspects of this material world, was in full consciousness of understanding that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, this Janadi Ashayata, the Vedanta Sutra, states that God is the cause of all causes and the source of everything. And to understand that, to understand that God is the cause of all causes, is the first step in our God realization. It's the first step in our God realization. God is the source of everything. And the atheists cannot possibly defeat this argument. They can't. It is undefeatable. The definition of God is he's the cause of everything. Something comes from nothing, or something comes from something. Now, we haven't experienced, none of the scientists, none of the great educationalists, nobody has yet seen something come from nothing. There is a cause, and Krishna is the cause. This is our faith. This is our understanding. We have to have this understanding, and that is the beginning of our God realization. We have to have faith that God is actually existing. So something comes from something. Nothing comes from nothing. It's never happened. So this is our point. If you are dealing with an atheist, if you're having a teaching session with an atheist, this is our fundamental block. Tell me something that has come from nothing. They're talking about the Big Bang. All of a sudden there was this Big Bang. Yes, but where did the Big Bang come from? Even our scientists are saying, yes, there could be a possibility of a Big Bang, but we know from the scriptures when Krishna emanates all the universes from his body, you know, on the front cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see the little bubbles coming out of the pores of Krishna. They are now saying that the Big Bang doesn't necessarily have had to have been an explosion. The Big Bang, it could have been a bubble coming from Krishna's pores to manifest another universe. This is the amazing thing. So everything starts to tie up. So there is a logical, therefore it is logically inconsistent to all our present experiences to think this way, that nothing came from nothing. Therefore everything is God. But at the same time, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, although I am everything, and I am in everything, this is Krishna talking, I am outside of everything as well. And I am everything, still I remain separate. And this is that quality of Purusha. Although I am in anything, and I'm with everything, and I'm outside of everything, I am everything, still I am separate from it, and I am Purusha. In order to surrender to God, we should have a very, very strong, deep faith in the Supreme Lord. This is the teachings. So many people who follow religions, and we find this out all the time when we're dealing with other different faith traditions. So many people who follow religion, they have a very sentimental, superstitious belief system. Very, very simple. But they never really, truly, in their minds and heart, face the reality that there is a God. They really don't ever grab it and understand it. Sometimes they say, yes, 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 I believe in God. And, I go to church and I go to the temple and I go to the synagogue. And it's so superficial. Their understanding of God is so superficial. It's just something that we do. We experience it so often with our Hindu brothers and sisters, right? They follow this Hindu religion as a means of cultural. Well, this is what we do. Recently, I had that program. I was asked to go on radio last Sunday, actually, when it was Govardhan Puja. I got an opportunity to talk on national radio about Diwali and about the 50th anniversary of the Hare Krishna movement. They didn't talk much about that. They were talking more about Diwali. And I was on the radio with this interviewer. It was a religious program at 10 o'clock at night. And there were two people in Sydney, very nice people. One was an author and her husband. And we were talking about Diwali. And the interviewer asked one of the people in Sydney, the man, and he asked, you know, so what does Diwali mean? But there was no concrete understanding of the real meaning of Diwali. You know, it is worship of this God and worship of that God, and, you know, it is something we do with the family. It was just, if you have a chance to listen to it, it's quite interesting. So I had to sort of point out that actually, you know, there is only one God. And because they were saying, you know, we can worship that God, we can worship that. And I made clear that there is only one God, and all the other gods are departmental managers of a big structure. And that God is the CEO, he's the top, he's the cause of all causes, the controller of everything. So it was really interesting. So in our Hindu community, they have some idea of God or gods, but there's no real fundamental knowledge. And that's why when people come to this Krishna consciousness, they get everything. Bang, there it is. An interesting scenario also when we were coming to Krishna consciousness in the early days, some 30, 40 years ago, where we were, both Bhakti and I, were seriously wanting to know about God. And we would, firstly, we were connected with an impersonalist meditation, Mayavadis. And I kept on asking my guru, this guru, so can you tell me about God? And all he would say would be, oh, yes, 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 this will all come. You know? And I said, yeah, well, I want to know now. And he said, just read Bhagavad Gita and you'll know, in due course you'll know. And I thought, this isn't good enough, you know. So I read his Gita, but it only had 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. He only published 6 chapters because the later chapters go into devotional service. And he really didn't want to mention that. So they avoided that whole subject. So the other areas, we thought, okay, before we met the devotees, we thought, well, we want to render some devotion. We'll go to our church and render devotional service there. And we talked to the priest and we said to the priest, look, we'd like to render some devotional service. Can we clean the church? Can we? And the priest was just astounded that we wanted to do something like this, because we'd been influenced a little bit by Krishna consciousness that the way to understand God is to render service. So we thought, well, we didn't want to come into the Hare Krishna mood, so we'll do it in our religion and we'll do it through the Catholic Church. And he couldn't understand this at all. The concept just was so vague to him. Later we found out that that man actually was a pedophile, and recently his church was burnt down in Brighton. So this is the nature of it. So they say, yes, 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 I believe in God, and yes, 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 but really, fundamentally, they haven't got a clue. Recently also we had the Diwali, I mentioned the last time we had the Diwali program at Parliament House. And they allowed us to come into the Parliament, you remember Chaitanya Leela? And we went to the Parliament House and we were allowed to go into, oh, Sukadev Prabhu, remember? We went into the actual chamber where the Parliament sits. And as a token, first there's a big hoo-ha about the speaker coming in, and it's everybody stands up and it's all awe and reverence, and he's the representative of the crown. So they gave great pomp and ceremony to him. And then out of necessity, because we're a Christian country, we'll just say the Lord's Prayer, right? So this token effort of thinking, well, God is in control. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And half of them are talking over here. Couldn't give a damn about God in that place. And as soon as the prayer was over, what happened, Sukadev? They went berserk. They were like 5-year-old children barking at one another from this side of the room to that side of the room. Nothing was getting done, was it? No one could speak because the other one would... And I thought, this is crazy. Demon crazy. Democracy. Prabhupada said democracy is demon crazy. But somehow or other they felt they needed to put God in there somewhere. So let me just offer a quick prayer to God. Nobody believes really in God. So this was interesting. Later, Sukadev and myself were outside and the speaker came to us, the speaker of the house, very nice man, Thomas. He came up and he said, so how did you like the session? And both Sukadev and myself were, well, they argue a lot. And he said, oh, they were on good behavior because the Hindu community were there. Usually I have to kick out about 14 of them, you know. This was just ridiculous, you know. It was just ridiculous. But what I was saying was, there was just some little aspect that they had to put God in there, you know. So they have no real actual belief. They have no actual understanding, and actually their faith is very weak. So we have to have strong faith. Therefore, Prabhupada used to tell us that religion without philosophy is simply sentiment or fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is? Huh? Yeah. It's speculation. So there we go. This is Prabhupada. There has to be a harmony between the two. There has to be a harmony. In order to develop our devotion and faith, has to be founded on a strong foundation. And that strong foundation is that Krishna is the cause of everything. Nothing, the energy is nothing but Krishna, an expansion of Krishna. Now this is another interesting section. But how wonderfully, inconceivably, he expands himself in such a way that he remains the object of affection. He remains the object of love in all of his creation. So he is personal. He is so personal with all of us. Therefore, this concept that we have in Krishna consciousness of achincha bheda bheda tattva inconceivably means how everything is one with God and at the same time it's different. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding. Achincha bheda bheda tattva, simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This is our pinnacle. This makes us different from everybody else. This is Lord Chaitanya's. And here it was mentioned, it is inconceivable to the mind. It cannot be understood. We may superficially say, yes, 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 I understand achincha bheda bheda tattva. However, that everything is one with the Lord and at the same time different. But, however, do we really understand it? Do we really understand it? You can't. With our material brain, with our material understanding, if you presented this to the greatest intellect, the greatest intelligent person in the world, this quality of achincha bheda tattva, achincha bheda bheda tattva, they can't comprehend it, this simultaneously trying to understand. It's like an ant, a little ant that crawls around trying to understand quantum physics. It's beyond it. So it is inconceivable. God is inconceivably one and different from his creation. Now what does that mean? The word inconceivable is so important, it means that it is only conceivable, we can only conceive of it by the grace of God. And that is the basic principle of bhakti. It is all by the grace of God. So it means that we can never figure it out by ourselves without that quality of God. We can never understand it. We can only understand it when we please Krishna. When we dedicate our lives in devotion to Krishna, to the spiritual master, to the devotees, then this concept, this understanding of achincha bheda bheda tattva will finally come into our consciousness and we can understand it. That is the only way we can understand it. This is so important for us Vaishnavas and especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, following the tradition of Lord Chaitanya, that we have strong, firm faith in the understanding that Krishna is the supreme. And Krishna is the cause of all causes. And thereby, again, this most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parijagyam Mamakam Saranam Vrajam Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishami Mam Suchaha. This is so important. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Just give yourself over to me. I shall protect you from, even though you can't understand this inconceivable oneness and difference, I will just surrender to me and I will inform you and instruct you and enlighten you. This is Krishna's promise to us. And don't do any fear. You don't have to fear anything. Don't do the fear factor. Don't be an illusion. Don't be worried. Krishna will protect you and he'll give you the intelligence. So it's only through surrender. We have to surrender. That this inconceivably becomes conceivable. This is no other way. So the last paragraph, it was mentioned here, the two words sat and asat. Asat is the cosmic, sat, I'll read this out, the last part. The two words used in this verse are sat and asat. The cosmic manifestation is asat. It does not exist. But the material energy of the Supreme Lord is sat. It's existing forever. Material nature is ever existing in the subtle form as energy of the Lord, but it sometimes manifests this non-existent or temporary existing nature, the cosmos. An analogy may be made with the father and the mother. The mother and the father both exist, but sometimes the mother begets children. So this is an amazing analogy that Prabhupada gives. Similarly, the cosmic manifestation which comes from the unmanifest material nature of the Supreme Lord sometimes appears and again disappears. This is the nature of the Lord. But the material nature is ever existing, and the Lord is the supreme cause of both the subtle and gross manifestations of this material world. He is the cause of all causes. This is the greatness of Krishna, and this is what we have to really understand in our Krishna consciousness. Have to be really rooted in this understanding that Krishna is the cause of all causes, that everything comes from him, and that with devotion and love to the Supreme Lord, everything will be revealed to us. So this is the energies of the Lord. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a very excellent lecture and good research, because you have somebody has to be a father. So the Supreme Father,
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
So Krishna is a person, and we have to surrender him to him. And Bhaktara makes up some Sarvok Mahesh.
Yes, sir.
He is Bhaktara.
Yeah.
And Ananya,
he is Bhaktara.
Tesham, I look after everything, whatever you have got, you possess. And what you haven't got,
I'll carry what you lack. Yeah, that's Krishna. He's with us, he's our dearmost friend, so we have to really look after that, foster that. But that's a great argument against the atheists. And atheism is a big thing at the moment. We have
strong
to,
faith.
Yeah, strong faith, very true. Have to develop our strong faith. Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much. You're sorry?
When Mayavadis claim that they merge with the light.
Yeah, with the light, yes.
What do they actually do when they merge with? The soul is always active.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
Krishna puts them in a dormant state and they become merged with the Brahman effulgence of Krishna. So there is a state which is like an all-encompassing light, and they merge with that light. And so temporarily, they sort of feel that there is a merging and they lose their individuality up to a point. But eventually, Prabhupada explains that eventually that's not adequate enough for them to merge in this light. And it's a euphoric, it's a, an ecstatic sort of experience, but it's not enough because it's not personal. We are all persons. We are all individuals and we need connection on a personal level. So they feel that the oneness for a period of time, but then this quality of wanting to express one's personality and relationship with someone else manifests again while they're in this Brahmajyoti, and then they again have to take birth in this material world. And Prabhupada explains that sometimes they end up doing philanthropic work. They become, you know, nurses, doctors, charity workers, and so on and so forth, because they want to have that experience and rapport and interaction with another living entity. And until they come to Krishna consciousness, where they can develop true relationship with their connection with Krishna, with God, with the Supreme, which is their birthright, they don't turn away from Krishna. When you then connect with Krishna, you connect with all the other souls that are also there. Do you know what I mean? And so a pure devotee sees Krishna in every heart. A Paramahamsa sees Krishna everywhere. He doesn't see the bodily distinguishing things anymore. He just sees the soul. That's the magic of it. But an impersonalist, it's unfortunate. And they have some ecstasy. There's something there. But it's lacking that personal connection. And you can sometimes tell when you go to different places. Yes, they have devotion, but it's a different kind of devotion than what we've got. It's a self-centered devotion. It's like, you know, it's a crazy understanding. Some of them even develop, you know, they have their guru there and they worship their guru. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, thank you very much, guru, but eventually I want to merge with you. I want to be you. I want to overtake you. That's pretty weird. That's pretty heavy, you know. It's not that I want to love you for who you are. Like, we love Prabhupada. We just had Prabhupada's disappearance day. And there's so much affection and so much love for our guru, you know. But we never, ever would think, I want to take Prabhupada's place. I want to be Prabhupada. You know, that's the impersonalist. That's the Mayavadi. The Mayavadi has no connection. You know, like that guru that I used to be with, he used to say, enlightenment is like you and Krishna are walking on a path. right? And he said, at one stage, Krishna is beside you. And then a little further on, you don't know who you are and who Krishna is. You've sort of merged. And I thought, this is freaky. I don't want this. I want to be able to love God. I want to maintain a personal connection and love God. And this is the unfortunate error that Mayavadis make, the impersonals make. That somehow or other, I want to possess what you've got. I want to possess Krishna. I want to be the deity. I want to have the worship. I want to be the one. It's so negative. And so there where Prabhupada really makes it clear, you know, you have to be so careful, because it is attractive. Every one of us, we came into this material world thinking, hey, I'm the big shot. I'm actually the one. We did that play some time ago. I don't know if you saw this play. This was a play that we did back in the 70s called I Am the One. And I was a rock star, punk rocker rock star, right? And I had this song called I Am the One. And it became a number one hit, and I really thought I was the one, you know. And then the devotees came and shattered that illusion. We'll put it up on YouTube one time. It was a good movie, a good play that we did. I Am the One. So you're not the one. We're all spirit souls. We're all connected to Krishna. We are part of Krishna, just as a small fraction of gold. You know, like if you get a small, you go panning for gold and you get this little speck of gold in your pan. You ever done that at Sovereign Hill? And you get this little speck of gold. But Krishna is the mine. It's the gold mine. You know? We're this little instant, little scholar. Look, there's gold. Wahoo! That's us. Krishna is the whole mountain of gold. This is the point. Yes, Prabhu.
What you said is like 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair.
Yeah. Small, small fraction.
And also Mahaprabhu said that Mayavadi Sunila Hoya Saranash. Mayavadi Bhasha Sunile Hoya Saranash.
And translation?
Means you are completely destroyed. Because they say you are also God, I am also God. We all are God.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Prabhu? Sorry? It's like an amnesia, right? Their desire is so strong. Krishna fulfills all desires. He's such a wonderful personality. He fulfills all desires. If this is what you want, my son, you can have that. And you can almost feel like you've just merged. Your whole soul has merged into this light. Wow, I'm one with the light. But then there's still that subtle little speck of personality. You never get rid of your person. You never, ever completely get rid of who you really are. You are unique. You are unique. You are unique. We are all unique. And yet we're all one with Krishna. Abchincha beta beta tattva. This is so inconceivable, but yet that's the case. And so he never, ever really loses. And then all of a sudden, at one point or another, it could be take a long time, he realizes, this is not the be all and end all I thought it was. You know, I'm sitting here in light. Okay, what do we do now? I just stay in the light. I want to do something. No, stay in the light. That's how it is. And that's what they teach. You know, just stay in the light. No, I want to do something. And then you want to do devotional service. You know, if you love someone, the first thing you want to do is do something for them. Just do something for them. So we do that for our wives and our husbands. We do that for our children. And we as devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, we do that for Krishna. We do everything for Krishna. We do everything for God, for Lord Chaitanya, and for our spiritual master. Yeah? Is it clear? Yes, Mataji. Right.
But he still exists. He's still individual. But his awareness is covered.
Great. Did you hear that, Prabhu?
And that's why they say this kind of merging is
Yeah.
Because you know, you lose that awareness. Yeah. You can't think, you can't feel, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
If you can simulate what she sees.
She was saying it's like deep sleep. When a soul merges into Brahmajyoti, it's like a deep sleep. When we go into a deep sleep, we forget that we're sleeping. We're not even dreaming. We're just sort of, right? So that's what happens. And she was saying that this deep sleep is like a suicide because it can take so long. You may not, you will eventually come out of it, but it could take a long, long time to wake up and say, I've got to do something. And then if they haven't got knowledge of Krishna, they go back to this material world and do philanthropic work. So if you see someone that's really is a good person and is doing a lot of philanthropic work, you can sort of understand, you were in the Brahmajyoti for a while there, weren't you? Let me give you one of Prabhupada's books quickly so you don't go back in there again, you know? So it's so important that we give this knowledge to people. You know, it's so important that somehow or another we distribute this knowledge because people are all suffering and atheism is on the rise. We have to give this knowledge to our children and to our friends and relatives. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah.